you got your Bible, I'm going to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 today. Once again, we're back to Ephesians chapter 4, Keith. We've been in Ephesians 4 for, I think, 4 weeks. We kind of slowed down. The Holy Spirit slowed us down, put the brakes on a little bit. So we got more to talk about here in Ephesians 4. We've been talking in Ephesians 4 about learning to live a life that's worthy of the call. And the four things that we've talked about, number one, in order to live a life that's worthy of the call, we cannot do it without Him. We cannot do it without Him. We need Him. The Old Testament shows us that we need a Savior. We're not good enough to save ourselves. Ephesians 1 through 3 shows us this, that we can't do a life worthy of the call apart from Him. We got to have Him with us. We got to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me. Number two, that we need each other to become mature unto the Lord so that we can receive that full measure of all the fullness of Christ. Those gifts that He gives each one of us is meant to be shared with one another, not to be held to ourselves, that we are to share them with one another. And so we got to be together so that we can do that. We got to be together. Number three, we're supposed to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We would not harden our hearts by the deceitfulness of our corrupted and corruptible flesh. That we would not have hearts of stone, but that we would be sensitive to the Spirit. And last week, we talked about putting off the old so that we can put on the new. To put off that old stuff, the stuff of the old life, to no longer live as the Gentiles do, but instead to live a life that's worthy of the calling that we have received. Each of us has a unique calling from God. But part of living our lives out in a manner worthy of that call is to no longer live as the Gentiles, or for us today, as the Americans do. Amen? And so last few weeks we've been talking more specifically about that. We're going to get into more of that today, but we're learning. This is so important. We are learning to do this better. We are learning to live a life worthy of the call of God the longer that we walk with Christ. We're learning so we don't get ourselves all beat up about every single time that we mess up and we sin. We need to see ourselves as we are still imperfect beings, saved by a perfect God through the sacrifice of His perfect Son. That's who we are. And that's important so that we do not bring condemnation on ourselves every time after we lay something down and we mess up again, or again, or again. But rather, as we lay those things down, we long for Him to bring transformation in our lives. We long for Him to bring that renewing in our lives so that we don't live that way anymore. Our own renewal is temporary. It's temporary. We can change our attitude in the moment, but if we don't experience life change, if we don't experience transformation from the Spirit of the living God, then we're going to go back to it again and again and again. And so today we're going to continue that vein of talking about what things is it that we're supposed to put off. So if you got your Bible and you're in Ephesians chapter 4, if you're there, say I'm there. If you're ready, say let's go. Let's go. Okay. Ephesians 4 and verse 25, he says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It's quite the list, right? Quite the list of to-dos. The title of the message today is No Longer Like the World. No Longer Like the World. Paul says in verse 25, therefore. Every time we see therefore in the Bible, we're supposed to look and see what therefore is there for. Amen? And so in this case, he's referring to putting off that old corrupted and corruptible self, because it's still corruptible, even after we put it off. And if he uses the same word when he says to put it off, it means to lay aside as with a garment, like what we talked about last week. So we are putting off the deceitful desires of the flesh and the world around us that tries to get us to believe that those desires lead to real fulfillment. Isn't that right? Those desires, if I could only have this, if I could only have that person in my life, if I could only have that car, that house, if I could only have this, whatever that may be, that's what I'm going to realize. I'm going to get to real fulfillment. And instead, what we got to do, church, is we got to come out of the matrix. We got to come out of the matrix, being stuck in those little incubators where we're just neutralized and pacified. You know, we need to come up. We need to rise up and to live the life that God has called us to live. And what does Paul say to put off here in verse 25? Or bring to an end? Falsehood. Falsehood. You know what falsehood in the Greek is? It's falsehood. I'm so glad that the biblical translators use the original Greek language of the New Testament to translate it so that we can read what's true. In a ministry book that I have, the question was asked this concerning this specific verse. It says, what would happen if just for one day every person in the world told the truth? What would happen if just for one day, what would happen? It reminds me of that movie Liar Liar with Jim Carrey, where his son makes a wish and for an entire day he has to tell the truth. It was a hard day for him, wasn't it? It ended up good, but it was a hard day to begin with. The author says, if that were to happen, if everyone in the world were to tell the truth for one day, our entire system would collapse. Because the system of the world is built on the framework of lies. And isn't that obvious when we have the prince of this world also being the father of lies? Right? Just think about that. It's hard to know the truth today from a lie. That's why the scriptures are so important. The word never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever as Jesus Christ is. It endures. It is not chained. This is the truth that we know to be true, regardless of what happens around us. Amen, amen, yeah. But because of this, because our world is built on a framework of lies, everyone expects everyone else to be this way too. That's why we have skepticism in the world today, right? And to this, Paul says, believers need to be different. Believers need to be different. To consider and then live out an entirely new system, a way of living, a new way of life, like we talked about last week, than what we are accustomed to in the world. And we do this as we speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love to one another. A new way of life that should characterize the church today. We should not look like the world. We should not look like the world. We have the distinguishing mark of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We should not be indistinguishable from the world. So number one today, number one, is to put off falsehood. Put off falsehood. Don't live like the world does. Give speaking the truth a chance. Give peace a chance. Give speaking the truth a chance. Use God's help. God is your helper. He is your help. With God's help, put off falsehood. Be renewed and live a new way of life. Next thing to put off, verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. That's Paul quoting from Psalm 4 and verse 4. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. We talked about this before in the footholds message. That anger itself is not bad, but anger is a much faster way to get to sin than a lot of the other slow fade kind of things, the things that kind of gnaw away at us, the things that slowly pick away at us and draw us into a place of sin. Anger gets us there a whole lot faster. Okay. But do you find in your life that it's easy to take things out of context that other people say? To jump to conclusions or to read into things that someone is saying as if you know what it is that they're saying? Is that anybody in here? Is that just me? Yeah. Yeah. It happens a lot at my house, actually. We can have an easy time taking things out of context or reading the situation wrong. I just did that with my boys this last week. I thought they were doing something that they weren't. They was completely innocent, but what I saw that they were doing was causing some destruction to one of our sheds at our house. And I'm like, what are you doing? They were just trying to hit the golf ball through the hole that was already in the shed door. In the process, they were making more holes, right? But their intention was good. They were just causing destruction along the way. So I had to apologize. I've been wrong too many times before in thinking that I know what someone else is thinking or meaning by what they do. Well, in a similar way, we can read a passage like this and we could say, ooh, anger is bad. I gotta not ever be angry. I gotta just stop. I gotta just not be angry at all. That's not very Christ-like of me to be angry. No. That's not what Paul is saying. Anger itself is not sin. Anger is an emotion. Okay? God gave us the ability to long for things. He also gave us the emotion of anger. He himself gets angry. Okay? And guess what? We're made in his image. We're made in his image. I think the New King James, the Inkijiv translation. I like how the Inkijiv translation says what Paul is trying to say here. I'm going to see how many times I can say Inkijiv in this message. Inkijiv, all right? So the Inkijiv translation says it this way. Be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. Okay? There is an anger that we feel when we see wrongs happen in the world. When we see injustices happen, there's an anger that can rise up in us. When we see that happening to us, to ourselves, or to somebody else, there's an anger that rises up in us. Maybe when we see God's word being profaned, what does that mean? That means that what is sacred is treated with disrespect. Okay? We can get angry about that. We can even get angry about when we tell someone, hey, don't do that because this is what's going to happen, and then they go and do it, and you're like, see, I told you not to do that. Right? Parents in the room agree with me as well? I know Melanie agrees. All right? And that, how many know that's not just prophecy? I mean, it could be prophecy, but that's just experience talking. Because we've done the same dumb things as our kids are doing sometimes, right? Yes. But when we do get angry, and it should motivate us, when we do get angry, what we are to do is not to lash out, not to get revenge, okay? But then instead we need to seek God for what we should do. God, I'm angry about this happening in the world today. God, this makes me so upset that this happened to my friend. What do I do about this? And allow him to speak to us about what it is that he wants to use to redirect that anger as a passion for justice and for righteousness. As our own anger can be corrupted to serve our own means. I'm angry, I'm hurt, and I'm going to let it come out of my mouth. Or out of my actions. James 1:20 says, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Man's anger. So God's anger and how we take the anger that God has given us, that emotion, and we use it in our own ways. That's man's anger. It does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Joseph Gordon, again, he said, if you're not careful in your anger, you can become what you hate. If you're not careful, you can become what you hate. That's important as we look at how involved that each of us are supposed to be in the unrighteousness happening in our world today, in our country today. We need to bring that before the Lord. What gets us angry? And we need to ask God, what is it that you want me to do, God? What is it you want me to do? Don't let your anger make you look like the world. Don't give the enemy a chance to use it as a foothold in your life. Instead, number two today, put off anger that leads to sin. Put off anger that leads to sin. Ask God to help you to do this. Be renewed and live a new way of life. I just want to take a moment here just to remind you of a few things. This is not a big list of to-dos of, I got to do this and I got to not do that and I got to do this and I got to not do that. Okay. We got to remember that this part of Ephesians is talking about, first of all, reminding us, we cannot live a life that is worthy of the call apart from him. We can't do these things apart from him. Otherwise, it becomes a bunch of rules. It becomes a bunch of religious talk. And number two, Thank you for that. And number two, we are learning to live a life worthy of the call. We don't do it perfectly right now, okay? We won't as we walk this earth. But when we compare, which we talked about last week, when we compare ourselves to who we used to be, BC, or between then and now, as we go through time, we can be encouraged that we're moving in a good direction. We're moving in a good direction. So don't get discouraged about this message today. And don't feel condemned, for there's no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But put off the anger that leads to sin. Next thing, verse 28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Now, some of you may know the church has been trying to sell a jazzy chair, a power chair. We acquired it for free, and some of us worked on fixing it up a little bit, making it jazzy. And we put it on the Facebook Marketplace and said, hey, we're trying to sell this because we had an increase in insurance in church, the insurance for the building, and also liability insurance for the school, which we were not paying last year. And so we were looking to recoup some of that cost by selling this jazzy chair. We're like, oh, this is cool. Thanks, God, for blessing us with this so we can sell it. It's still on the market, by the way. So just FYI, shameless plug there. But anyway, we had a scammer reach out to us. And the scammer told us a legitimate story, what sounded like a legitimate story. He said that, I want to buy this for my mother-in-law, and I want to surprise her with it on her birthday, but we're out of town on vacation right now, so I'm going to send you the check, and then when you get it, then we'll arrange transportation to pick up the jazzy chair. I'm like, okay, well, it sounds pretty legit. But what ended up happening was that this guy, we finally did get a check, it was a cashier's check, ended up being a fraudulent one. Doesn't look like it was a fraudulent one, but it was a fraudulent one. And it was actually given to us for more. He had written it out or had made it, had probably printed it, for more than what we were asking for the jazzy chair, like $1,500 more. And so I said, hey, I'm trying to think the best. Did you mean to write this for more than what we were asking for it? I mean, I put on the Facebook Marketplace page, I said, hey, if you guys, this is what it's for, is to help us to recoup some costs for our church and the school so that we can, you know, pay for insurance. And so I was like, well, maybe I'm just thinking the best. Maybe he just decided to bless us. Well, what the strategy was is that I would take that cashier's check, I would deposit it, it takes a few days to post, I would then issue a money order, because that's what it was for, the $1,500 over was to pay the transportation company to pick up the jazzy chair. I would pay this transportation company $1,500, and what ended up was that he got paid $1,500, and we still got a jazzy chair, and we're out $1,500. All right? This is the world that we live in. The world that we live in, the system is built on a framework of lies, right? And then, or, you know, that's stealing. That is stealing. Friends, that's stealing. Or like when you bust open someone's window and you steal the church checkbook out of their car. And then you go and write a bunch of checks and then they cash them, you know? On behalf of your church. That is also stealing. That's a true story, by the way. Yes. But these, as I think about these instances, I think about these people were working at earning a living. They were working at earning a living. That was their line of work. They didn't get their salary this time. But this is how the world looks. And as a believer, it's easy to see that this kind of stealing is not living in a way or in a manner that pleases the Lord. It's not living out the life of a calling that he has on our lives. Now, those are stealing, but there are some other more indiscreet, not necessarily visible, ways of stealing that we can do today. And I'm just going to share a couple examples from my own life before I was walking with the Lord. I used to work at a yogurt shop, and after the yogurt shop closed at night, I would go and I'd make myself a bowl of whatever the yogurt was that I decided to have that night, and I would take it home with me. Not because it was a mistake. I mean, we'd make a mistake, and then somebody would have to eat it, or we'd have to throw it away, right? So it wasn't that. No, it was something that I intentionally made myself, and I took it home with me. That's stealing, right? Or another one of my previous employers, I would sometimes arrive at work late, if you can believe that about me. I would sometimes arrive at work late. And when I would get to work, I had a van there that I would take my car and I'd park it at the garage and I'd pick up the work van and I'd drive around in the work van. And so on the days that I was late, I wouldn't go pick up the van. I would instead drive my car around the campus that I worked at. And maybe later on that day, if I had to leave campus, then I'd go pick up the work van. But that's what I did. These things, friends, are stealing. They're stealing. I'm still marking my time card as the time that I was supposed to be there. This is your pastor. Okay? There's all kinds of ways that we can steal. That same ministry book that I read earlier, they say, falsifying cost overruns, embezzlement, reporting more hours than worked, and a lack of diligence on the job all qualify as stealing. That's hard, right? When you think about that. But I'm going to tell you, don't read into that too much. Don't take that out of context. Don't go the opposite extreme and say, well, then I got to watch every single minute. I got to make sure that I'm working every single minute. And I can't ever talk to anybody on my text message. And I can't ever look at email. And I can't ever check the internet for things. Like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. That's what the religious leaders of the day of Jesus, when he was walking on this earth, that's what they were doing. They were getting all caught up, and I got to make sure I do this, and I don't do that, and I do all these kind of things, and that's religion. Okay? God's not asking for us to be in religion with him. He's asking for a relationship with us. Okay? And so instead of focusing on those things, to rather consider the heart issue. Let's look at my heart issues in those two examples that I gave. I would write the wrong time in that I arrived at work to try to hide my sin, like we like to do. We try to hide our sins away. That's the heart issue. Bible says that we are to confess our sins and to be forgiven. We're to confess those things and to be forgiven. I kept it inside. Confess and repent of those things. At the yogurt shop, I didn't think twice about it. My heart issue, I had a heart of stone. I had lost sensitivity to the Spirit. It doesn't take but just a little thing to start hardening your heart. But if you keep going that way, it gets harder and harder and harder to the point where you just don't even, it doesn't even faze you anymore. This is the way of the world today. Another employee at that same yogurt shop had figured out a way to overcharge the customer and then pocket the difference. So the register rang up a different amount than what he charged them for, and he would pocket the difference. He said he was able to go to his favorite band concert 4 times on that money. And that was 26 years ago. Think about the technology that we have today where we can be even more ambiguous on that kind of stuff, and nobody knows what's going on. What would happen if everyone in the world told the truth for one day? You know? As believers living a new way of life, what we live off of comes from stealing rather than earning, we need to put it off. So number 3, put off stealing. Even if people don't see you living that way, God does. Don't live like the world. With God's help, put it off. Be renewed and live a new way of life. 4th thing today. We only got 5, so this is number 4. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, fun fact, you heard of the band Building 429? They get the 429 from right here, from Ephesians 429, that their music would be not having any unwholesome talk in it, but only having wholesome, that which is wholesome. That word unwholesome is also translated as evil. Evil. And in the Greek, it means corrupt, depraved, vicious, foul, and impure. That's what unwholesome talk is. Those words remind me in a physical sense of walking down one of the Halloween aisles right now in the stores around town, where you see all that vicious, that foul, those impure images, that kind of stuff. Just that you see that stuff all over the place. Did you know that the corrupt, the vicious words that we speak from our mouths can have the same effect as looking at that vulgar stuff does on our hearts when we're staring at it? When we listen to that vulgar stuff, either coming out of our own mouths or out of someone else's mouths, it can do that to us. And I'm not just talking about swear words, okay? Putting others down, talking about others behind their backs, talk that causes division, especially in the church, letting anger lead to hurtful words, it all has the same effect. It's vicious, it's foul, it's impure, and it corrupts the corruptible flesh. And it looks like what the world does. James 3, 9 and 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Now James here is not talking to the lost person. He's not talking to the unsaved person who's walking down the street right now. He's not talking to them. He's talking to believers. He's talking to believers, and he's saying that these words should not be coming out of our mouths, our cursing toward other human beings that have been made in God's likeness. These words that can come out of even a believer's mouth can portray to people in this world that there is no difference between a believer and an unbeliever. It's interesting that no unwholesome talk and grieving the Holy Spirit are in the same line here. That word grieve in the Greek is to aggrieve. I never heard that word before. Aggrieve. Not agree, but aggrieve. And aggrieve just basically means to give pain or trouble to. That's what you think of the word grieve meaning, to give pain or trouble to. But do we understand, believers? Do we understand that to grieve the Holy Spirit of God is to cause our God pain? That when we live this way, we cause our God pain. Like a parent who watches their older child, or maybe a young adult child, or even older adult child, watches them live a careless, reckless life. It hurts. It's painful to watch that. You probably remember that we did it as well, but it's painful to watch that in our children's lives. It's the same with God. Some people tell me that in order to reach people that they are reaching, they got to talk like them. They got to act like them. Okay? In order to reach people that I'm reaching, I got to be like them. And Paul says, you know, we become like those that we minister to minister to them. But let me ask you, in that, is what we are portraying as a believer by talking foully and living in a way that doesn't please him and compromising, what kind of example is that setting for someone who's coming out of the world and coming to Christ? Oh, it's okay that I can be a Christian and I can talk like this and I can walk like this and I can dress like this and all that kind of stuff. What kind of example are we setting? The gang leader, New York gang leader, Nikki Cruz. Okay, so this is the David Wilkerson Story Teen Challenge. That gang leader, Nikki Cruz, had 15 known stabbings on his record when David Wilkerson came to start talking to him. Okay, and this gang leader said, "You take a step closer, preacher, and I'm going to kill you." And what did David Wilkerson respond with? This famous line. He says, "You can cut me up into 1,000 pieces, and every one of them would still love you." This gang leader, Nikki Cruz, is now an on-fire pastor for the Lord. Okay. Did it take David Wilkerson cussing and swearing and acting like them to reach this gang leader? No. In the longevity of us ministering to other people, sharing testimonies perhaps of how we used to live, how we used to talk, God can use those kind of things as we care for them to win them over and to bring them to the Lord without having to resort to that kind of talk. Us standing for righteousness and not compromising the truth as we care for those that we share the gospel with will win the hardest of hearts over. And it's not because of us, okay? That's the difference. It's because God wins their hearts over as we do not compromise the truth and we live in it today. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Praise God. Don't live as the world does. Don't compromise your values to minister to the lost. Instead, number four, put off evil talk. With God's help, put off evil talk. Watch what you say and how you say it. Don't speak anything unless it will give a blessing. Be renewed and live a new way of life. Last thing for today. Paul says to put off is in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, I hear that word, but I don't necessarily know what that word means, malice. I looked it up. What it means is the intention to do what is evil. That's what malice is. Okay? So put off or get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of intention to do what is evil. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. As I was studying this, this image came to mind of a Looney Tunes character called Taz. You guys know Tasmanian Devil? You got a picture of him up there? This is what I think of when I think of the rage and the anger and the slander. I mean, he can't even talk. He's like, blah, 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 blah. And he spins around in a whirlwind, and he just causes destruction wherever he goes. He doesn't care. He's just causing destruction. Filled with rage, destroying things. Though we may not be able to create a whirlwind like that ourselves, through these things that Paul mentions, bitterness, rage, slander, brawling, and a bent toward what is evil, we can cause destruction in our lives and in the lives of those around us. It's these things, these attitudes Paul's talking about that he says that we need to get rid of. And in the Greek, it means to remove, even to the point of destroying them in our lives or killing them in our lives. In other words, to bring them to an end. Number 5 today, put off negative attitudes with God's help. Put off negative attitudes. Be renewed and live a new way of life. And how do we do this? How do we put off the old so that we can put on the new? Simply put, we look at Jesus. We just got to look at Jesus. What he did for us. We are to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving because God is kind, compassionate, and forgiving to us. God forgave us through Jesus Christ on the cross. We got to keep that perspective. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 says, follow God's example, therefore, putting off all the stuff to put on the new, that's what it's there for. Follow God's example as dearly loved children. That's what we have to remember in this. No matter what you have done in your life, no matter how many mistakes that you have made, no matter how many people's lives that you have hurt, including your own, you are still God's dearly loved child. He still died for you on the cross. He still chose to forgive you. He still chose to be kind to you. He still chose to show you compassion. He still chose to surround you with his love. That's where we have to begin all of this list of things from that perspective. We have to understand that. We look at who God is, his perfect attributes, his sinless life. He is fully mercy, fully grace, fully love, fully just. Right? He's all of those things. There's not one that is higher than the other in his life, in his being. Right? He's all of that. His justice that no imperfect, sinless person could ever come into his presence unless there was a perfect sacrifice. And guess what? He offered himself for us as a perfect sacrifice. Like I said earlier, the Old Testament shows us that we aren't good enough. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And he knows this. And he didn't leave us like that. Here's the but God. He didn't leave us separated from him. Instead, Jesus loves and gives himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice once and for all to God for you and for me. How can you not look at Christ and what he did and not be moved to compassion, not be moved to respond, not be moved to some kind of action? How can you look at what Christ has done for you and not respond? How can we not respond to that? This is our main point today. Putting things off requires a response. Putting things off requires a response. A response to what Jesus has done for us. And that response causes us to no longer look like the world. When you think about putting these things off, don't see them as a laundry list of things to do. as a rule to follow. See it as a response. There's the freedom today. See it as a response. As we close, will you stand with me? Will you stand with me today? We've talked about five different things that we need to put off. Some of those may not all apply to you. Or the ones that do, maybe they apply in a different way to you than they do to somebody else here in this room. But either way, I'm just going to make this very simple. I'm asking you today to look at Jesus and then to respond. To look at Jesus and then to respond. That may mean that you need to come up here and you need to lay something down, like we talked about last week. There may be something that God brought up today that needs to be brought up here and laid down. This is just carpet and wood, but it's an altar. We can have altars in our lives to the Lord. They may be in different places, and that's okay. But an altar symbolizes a place of humility in that it takes humility to get you to the altar of God. It takes destroying the flesh, the pride in it, in us, okay? It takes putting that aside. It takes killing that, putting an end to that, to bring you to wherever your altar is at, okay? But at the altar is a place of refreshing and a place of renewing and a place where we meet with the Lord. Ultimately, when we meet with the Lord, we find refreshment, we find renewal. And so I'm just going to invite you today. Maybe you need to lay something down today as I pray. You feel free to come up here. If today is the day that you need to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need to lay yourself down as a living sacrifice, you need to lay your life down today, or you need to lay it down again as an act of rededication, you come as well. Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to listen to this message. And God, I know it's hard. It's easy to think about just, oh, God loves me. But there's another part of the cross. The life side of the cross is that we're forgiven, we're saved. The death side of the cross is that we need to die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and come after you. And I thank you that we can do both in Christ. Not because we have the ability to do it ourselves, God. But in Christ, we are learning to live a life that is worthy of the call. So God, whatever it is today, however it is that we need to respond, I just pray that we would take these next few moments to humble ourselves before you and to respond the way you want us to respond today. In Jesus' name, amen.